This is a podcast from the children's radio station Fun Kids. Listen on DAB digital radio across the UK or online at funkidslive.com. So I am joined on the, well, down the line, I guess, on the internet by the author and illustrator Jamie Littler. Hi, Jamie, how are you doing?
Hello, I'm doing really well, thanks. How are you?
I am good. It's lovely to have a returning author to Fun Kids. It's great to have you here. And you've returned with a brand new book.
I have indeed. Yeah. Yeah. It's really good to be back. And yeah, I'm here to talk about the sequel to my debut book, Frostheart, which the second book is called Frostheart: Escape from Aurora.
So this is the second of three books, is that right?
That's right, yeah. It's the exciting middle chapter of the trilogy.
What is Ash going up to in this story?
So basically in the first book we're introduced to this world of the Snow Sea, which is a dangerous frozen world full of monsters that hide underneath the snows. And Ash is part of a group of people with special powers, a group of people called Songweavers, who can sing and communicate with these Leviathan monsters. And Ash's parents have been missing. He doesn't know where they've gone, and he joins the crew of the Frostheart, this band of adventurers who ride on this massive engine-powered sleigh across the snows, you know, racing against the monsters and trying to help people who hide away in these strongholds. And Ash has been trying to find his parents, following clues hidden in a lullaby his parents left him when he was a baby. So the second book is Ash's continued adventures, trying to follow these clues and find where his parents have gone. And it brings him into the world as a whole, like the larger world outside of the small world he once knew in his tiny stronghold. So he goes to this place called Aurora, which is the biggest stronghold in the entire world. It's this huge city inside a mountain, inside an old volcano. And he starts to realize that there's things going on in the world, scary things, the way Songweavers are thought of and treated. He realizes that perhaps he's in a lot more danger than he realized, and that finding his parents is going to be harder than he first thought.
What a great description, because then it kind of, he sets off on an amazing adventure. He's got his pals from the first book as well with him, right? And they just have quite a big, I mean, I've read some of the reviews for it, and people are loving how much kind of peril and excitement there is in the book.
Yeah, I'm really glad. I'm so happy to hear that. It's I love a good adventure story, and this Frostheart as a whole was kind of my love letter to adventure. And this book really puts the story up a gear. Without doing too many spoilers, they end up in the wilds, which is the worst place you want to be. It's out in the frozen wilderness where you're kind of alone with these monsters, and you have to use all your survival instincts and skills to get through it. And luckily Ash has a group of very helpful adventurous friends who help him get through it. But yeah, there's a lot of adventure, a lot of danger, and hopefully a few laughs on the way as well.
Well, was there one bit in particular when you were writing you almost scared yourself, or one bit you were like, oh, I can't put that in, that's too much?
There were a few actually, and I had to do some research on how people actually survive in like frozen wildernesses, and even that was quite scary. You know, you think like, oh, it's going to be cold and it's going to be hard to find food, but you don't realize quite how hard and cold it's going to be, you know. So that doing some research for this was really fun, but also really opened my eyes to how dangerous the situation could be. So I had to like tone that back a bit, because obviously I was still trying to tell a story, and I thought there were some like absolute survival experts who were just like managing to walk a few miles before they were like, you know, collapsing from exhaustion and stuff. So I was like, they're going to have to be a bit, we're going to have to let some of that go and just have a bit more, you know, fun with monsters and ancient civilizations. Like there's lots of ruins scattered about these forests that they discover and hide out in and things like that.
Yeah, you've created this amazing world, which if people grab the book, you will see at the front, you've made a little map as well for everybody to kind of like get their own placings in it. Is it quite nice to be able to just make your own amazing adventure world, or is it really tricky?
I really enjoy world building. I think it might be the thing that I enjoy most about writing. I love fantasy worlds. I love that the idea of escaping to a world that doesn't exist until it's written on the page and until a reader reads it. So yeah, making the map was something I always wanted to do. I always wanted to have this world that felt real, and though it really existed. It can be really tricky because you need to think about how everything works, how people interact, how this strange world where people are stuck in strongholds and can't really leave their walled villages. How does a world like that work? But that's also half the fun, is just trying to figure things out. And because it is a fantasy, you don't have to be stuck to absolute reality, you know, so you can have some fun with that, even down to the sleigh, you know, these big engine-powered sleighs. Like, I just thought that was a really fun image that, you know, might be impractical in real life, but it's just so fun to read about and write about and draw.
Do you think you would survive in the world you created?
Absolutely not. No, I think I would probably be one of the strongholders who just hide behind their walls, you know, like hoping that these brave Pathfinder adventurers will come and help me. Yeah, I would like to think I would be braver and go out there, but it's quite an intimidating situation, I
It's
think.
quite a scary terrain you've made, and
Yeah.
if people are reading it and they can't properly imagine it, which I mean they'll have no trouble because your writing is awesome.
Oh,
You've
thank
also put
you.
in some brilliant illustrations as well.
Yeah, I mean, I was an illustrator before I was a writer. So it was, but when I started my job, when I started becoming an illustrator, I always wanted to tell stories as well. That was always something I wanted to do. So this really has been a dream come true. And right from the beginning, even though I was writing, I knew that I wanted it to be heavily illustrated. And it also helps as well because I can take some bits out of the writing, some like heavy description, and show it in the pictures. You know, the pictures, the illustrations can help add to the text, you know? So you can suggest certain things in the text, and then I can show it in the illustrations, you know, how these people dress, the kind of way their weapons look, or what the monsters might seem like. And yeah, it's really fun. I feel like the two work together, well, I hope, really well.
It's also, I mean, a bit of a luxury for you that you're multi-talented because a lot of authors, I guess, would have to really explain their ideas to an illustrator who's working with them, but you're doing both, so it's.
Yeah, seriously, because before I wrote Frostheart, I was very lucky to work with quite a few other authors on their books, including, as you mentioned, Danny Wallace. And it works exactly like that. The author comes and they tell you, they try and explain how they see a certain scene, you know, so you've got to try and, from their words and what they're saying, try and build that world, which is a really fun challenge in itself. But coming in like this, as I was writing, I could just see the world in my head. So it was definitely an easier process to be able to get it from words to illustration.
Now, I've got to say, like I said, I'd read some of the reviews for it, and you left a lot of people hanging for a long time, Jamie, for the second book, because
Yeah.
people were like refreshing the websites trying to figure out when the second book was coming out. So, how long do we have to wait for the third one?
Unfortunately, it's about the same amount of time, I'm afraid. It's going to be another year. I think the third and final book will be coming out, we hope, like October next year. And I don't think I've done many people any favors. I know people who have finished the second book are like, "Where's the third book?" You know, I've already been receiving messages, which is great. It's so lovely to hear that they're getting so involved with the story. But yeah, but these things take quite a long time to make.
Yeah, no, I bet. Yeah.
Yeah, so I've almost finished writing. Well, I'm writing the third one as we speak. I've written it. It's still going through editorial. You know, we're like trying to make it the best story we possibly can, and then I'll be illustrating it quite soon, and then it will be ready to go to print and go into everyone's hands.
Oh my goodness. Well, I can't wait for the third book as 1,000 people on the internet are in a similar position. Can you give us first of all, one thing to look forward to in the second book, and maybe a little hint of what could happen in the third?
Sure. Well, something to get excited about, I think, in the second book is the world opening up. So in the first book, it was, as I've said, like we started off in a place called the Fyra Stronghold, which is this walled city that Ash, the main character, lives in. And then he makes his first steps out into this bigger world. So we see that in the first book. In the second book, we really see how that world works. We see the center of it all. We see loads of different strongholds, so different peoples and cultures. We discover some new Leviathans, and we start to see what's really going on, what like some shady goings on in the background that might have bigger repercussions, which we may or may not see in the third book.
Oh, excellent little teaser there. Big fan of that. Well, Jamie, thank you so much for talking to us about Frostheart 2. And hopefully for the third one, we'll actually see you in the studio.
Yeah, absolutely. Fingers crossed. That would be so good. It would be so great to come back.
Yeah. Well, hopefully October next year, I will see you there.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
No worries. Thanks, man. So that was a podcast from the children's radio station Fun Kids. Listen on DAB Digital Radio across the UK or online at funkidslive.com.